Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we are here to help you keep up. Happy 4th of July to our American listeners, happy Canada Day to our Canadian listeners, happy Independence Day to our Belarusian listeners. It seems July is the month for independence, so happy independence to everybody. Funny how that worked out. There were a whole bunch of other ones we did not include there. You're welcome. My nerdy shirt of the week comes from Mac Telecom. Our friends Cody over at Mac Telecom, which is another great YouTube channel that I constantly learn a ton from. And apparently, this shirt is now limited edition since it was the first print he'd ever done.
Collector's item.
The print comes off if you wash the shirt. So, Cody, I'm going to frame it and never wash it again, and it's just going to be a collector's item here. Just wearing it once for this show, and that'll be it. So, I was like one of three, I think, that actually shipped out. So,
wow.
Yes, it pays to be early sometimes. And, you know, Steve, I got to tell you, getting the Pixel tablet that I am intending to use as my home device, really, the Pixel line must be an entry drug, because now I have the Pixel 7a as well.
Yes,
and it was just, you know, hold on. I'm not getting rid of the iPhone. Don't want to scare anybody.
I have iPhones around me too, but I just never use them once I use the Pixel. So,
you know, we will see. It may come to pass that I enjoy using this. It is. It's fun, honestly.
He's been an Apple fan for, you know, 7-8 years. That's all he's had. And I said, hey, try the Pixel out. And then he was like, yep, you're right. Pixel is the way to go. And
I mean, it's been...
It takes a little bit getting used to.
It's been 8 years since I have used Android.
That's what I'm saying.
Like proper Android. And now I've got it in my hands. And I got to give credit where credit is due. I have dumped all over Android, or did. I less so recently, but for a long time, dumped all over Android. Because iOS, you know, the apps just work. And friends over on the iOS side, I haven't used this long enough to say whether or not that's still the case here. But this is a really solid OS. It has come so far since 2014 when I stopped using it on Android, whatever flavor that was.
The big difference, too, is also a lot of people are using, you know, non-Pixel devices. They're using some flavor of Android from Samsung or someone else, you know. And
Samsung I can't touch. No offense to Samsung, but so something about the operating system doesn't click with my brain. I don't know.
OnePlus was one of my favorite phones when it first
came out. I love
that
OnePlus.
Was the closest thing to, like, an actual, you know, Pixel kind of version of an Android. And but then once the kind of, you know, Pixel 3, 4, 5, something like that started coming out. That's kind of when I converted over to Pixel stuff and just kind of
stopped. So I had one of the early Pixels, and I switched off the Pixel line. I think I had the Pixel 5, and then I got the OnePlus 1 and the OnePlus 2, and then that's why I switched off of Android.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think, up till 7.
Yeah, so I moved over to iOS at that point. That's pretty much when I left Android, and every time I touched it, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know where anything is. I don't know how to do this. It changed a lot, but I've now spent quite a bit of time with these, and it's just, it moves. It really, I don't know, there's got to be, maybe it's something in iOS, maybe it's a setting, I don't think so, but it just, everything feels more sluggish on iOS all of a sudden, which is, you know, crazy for me to think, because I'm using the iPhone 14 Pro Max, which is literally the most powerful iPhone that's out there. And I mean, it still feels more powerful to me as a device. I'm sure that'll change with time. And, you know, I will probably get to the point where I feel towards phones as I do about computers, where I am operating system agnostic. So the apps I use on them, as long as like I know the shortcuts for each operating system, what actual device I'm using is completely irrelevant to me for the most part. So, but I've got, you know, the tablet I've been playing around with it, got two different users set up on it with fingerprint recognition, which is nice. And
the fingerprint recognition allows each user to then log into their own account. Is what what happens, right?
Little
that's
fingerprint
pretty,
thing up here
cool.
on the top.
That's
and you just
pretty
put
cool.
your finger on top, and it logs you into. I think it logs you.
That's
into
a really cool feature.
Individual.
Is that available on any other device?
I'm not sure. I'm actually testing it now. I'm not sure it logs me directly. I thought I had read somewhere that it did, but maybe.
So it keeps the two profiles separate, right?
Yeah, completely separate.
You can't. Right. That makes. I mean, that's great.
It does say when you log in a second account after the primary account that the person who has the primary account, like, it says be careful when using a shared device or something like that.
Oh,
like,
right.
Theoretically,
they kind of have like root access to the device kind of thing, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
probably is what it is.
Probably,
right?
If I were to...
if you have physical access to a device, you can do a lot of things with it, right? So
right, especially if you're the admin or the primary admin or
right.
the only admin. So
yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
exactly what capabilities are there. Theoretically, if I wanted to, you know, have somebody else in my household use it, if I wanted to hack into their account,
right.
what that would look like, I don't know. I mean, right now I'm probably just gonna have my account for the kids, and
I'm sure we'll start hearing about that stuff though soon.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't imagine too many teenagers are gonna be putting their apps on these things anyway, or logging into their household device.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't think they have something to worry about there. But I'm sure that there'll be, you know, husband and wife shared device. Has that already been a thing? Like in, I don't know, divorces or something? Probably. I don't know. Thank God I don't know too much about that, even though I am divorced. I did not have to go down that particular path of, you know, fighting and all that jazz.
We'll
so
that topic altogether over here on this side.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Let's go back to nerdy things and technology. But
right.
anyway, so I guess it's
yes.
I guess it's the entry drug because, you know, it is the 7A. It's the Tensor G2. They both have the same processor. And it feels snappy. It's also my first time using an underscreen fingerprint reader. Which is interesting because it does both underscreen fingerprint reading and face ID or face unlock, whatever they call it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But it works well.
I don't know. The face ID is kind of weird. I'm not a big fan of that one.
So on the iPhone, it's seamless. It's
no-brainer. Like it's like, I mean, you know, putting a phone in front of someone's face is pretty easy to do if they leave it somewhere. Like
sure.
Trying to grab their thumb or fingers a little bit hard because you gotta actually have to move their body to maybe do it, but maybe not. But. Biometrics, I don't generally.
On
like
the iPhone, their eyes have to be open, so they're going
oh,
to
they do?
See. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that it doesn't have to. I think
I was
it's
thinking
a
about
setting
that. I didn't
there.
Know if that was an actual thing. Like if it recognizes like eyes open type of thing.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not only eyes open, by the way. It's attention. So if I'm looking this way and I do my phone like this, it won't unlock.
Oh, really?
I have to glance at my phone for
it's
it
interesting.
To unlock.
I was recording. I was sitting next to my you know one of my kids last night, and he was sleeping. And as he was laying down, you know, his one eye was like half open, but you could see it moving around. Like you could, like his, you know, his half of it was moving around. It was kind of cool to like see it. Like oh, I wonder if that would have, you know, picked up on face recognition. Because yeah,
I don't
just
know.
The angle, you could kind of see his eye half open, and you know, like
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
In REM.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to wake him, but I was like, oh, that's what REM sleep is.
It's like,
when
here,
the eye moves around,
phone.
And yeah.
Yeah, so use Face ID for to unlock the phone, and you can see right on here, require attention for Face ID. So.
Oh, okay, so it's like a setting for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that's been, so like, you know, something where it's like, you know, even if I'm trying to unlock the phone of a person who's driving because they asked me to, you know, change the music or whatever, and then I'd say, all right, quick, glance at it, you know, or we're at a red light, glance, you know, kind of a thing, because we don't want to break any laws here. It's a great feature, and it's so seamless, and it works extremely well. But on the Pixel 7a, I don't know which one it's using at this point. So there, I just did it, and it took, I didn't have to put my finger on it, I just swiped up, and it unlocked, and I saw a little circle over the camera bump in the middle of the screen here, so that, I guess, did Face ID. So I guess if I'm wearing sunglasses, I can use the fingerprint as a backup, or I could do one or the other, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
all the
I've
Pixel users
the
are going
stuff.
Like, duh, of course it does this.
Yeah, I've always just
dumb iPhone users.
Yeah, I was on the fingerprint, and then I always kind of like force pin code lock it sometimes when I don't want. It's always like a give or take, you know, because the biometrics are good when you're like on public transport type of thing, and you don't want someone to see your pin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
then
100%.
You know,
I
the
never
biometrics
want to be
are
my pin
not
in.
As good when you're around people that you maybe know, and someone's gonna like use it to like unlock it when you're sleeping. So it's like I don't know.
They better not. Yeah, I guess that's where the focus on Face ID comes in. Oh, the other thing that I was very happy to rediscover is the double tap on the power button to launch the camera, and then right under it, use the volume rocker to take a picture. Because I do that. Yeah. Like I pull my phone out real fast. I'm a diehard hip holster guy, as nerdy as that makes me sound, from the BlackBerry days. I'm still holding on to it. And so I can pull my phone out real quick, but I still, on the iPhone, I still gotta swipe in order to launch the camera. And sometimes the screen doesn't turn on right away, it doesn't recognize right away. And like with the Pixel, I just click and I'm in the camera. Like, boom. It's in, and then I can take pictures. It's so fast. And so that is something that I've wished for years. I wished when I had first moved over that there was a way to do that. Like, yeah, sure, you can use the power button, not the power button. You can use the volume rockers to take pictures, which is great. I do use that all the time. But it's the launching the camera seamlessly and easily without touching the screen is something that I would want to do, for example, when wearing gloves. I can't do that on the iPhone. There are shortcuts you can do, but I find myself triggering those by mistake anyway, like the triple tap on the back, because I have ADHD, and so I tap on the phone all the time, and then it launches the camera, and I'm like, no, damn it. I'm trying to read an article. Stop launching my camera.
Yeah, I think the double tap was also a screenshot option on the Android.
Oh, this so one
like
is a
double back tap. This is like a screenshot.
Oh, the double back tap. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know if it works on all of them, but there's a setting for it, possibly.
Oh, maybe. This one's not doing it. It's better that it doesn't, though, because I constantly am tapping on the sides of my phone, on the back of my phone, playing with the case, although this I'm not putting a case on, because this is just going to mostly live on my desk. Although, I don't know. Also, I got this at a discount on eBay. It's a $500 phone, and I got it for $375 or something. It's locked to Spectrum, the cell phone carrier MVNO Spectrum. And quite frankly, I don't care. I don't plan on putting a SIM card in it, number one. Number two, I looked up on Spectrum's site, and as long as you own the phone, if you pay for 2 months of service, they'll let you unlock it anyway. So I could just pay $30 and get it unlocked, because it's $15 a month for service. But hey, a couple $100 off the phone. Why not? Relatively brand new phone. Of course, then, you know, today I see that the Pixel 8 Pro started leaking, and I was like, oh, come on. But I wasn't going to pay that much money for a phone that's mostly an engineering test dummy for me. So, but it's been fun. It's been fun rediscovering Android and you know, getting back into it. And it's not often that I get my hands on something so much is new. So, yeah, it's cool. Anyway. We have topics, I think, like 35 of them.
We do actually. We
have I'm a looking lot of at these. This is this long. It's like 7 inches long. Why don't you give us a preview?
Let's go through those. Yeah, so we have three that came out in the end of week recap here, then eight in the during the week. We've got loads of news articles here, which is something that we haven't had for a while. Yeah. So, first one of the silent releases, we have revamping the first open experience in Sheets and Slides on Android devices. Next is the ability to paste HTML into documents on Android, and then also easily duplicate groups and objects in Google Sites. And then in terms of our eight weekly updates that we had, first one is a lot of meat updates here, by the way. Quickly access more features during meetings, available for Google Meet on the web. You can also apply a background blur when joining a call using a virtual desktop, of course, with Meet. Google Sheets now has integrated with Mail Merge in Gmail. A very long, long time, desired feature there, finally coming.
It kills like access. 85 plugins.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. We'll see how it gets implemented there.
Yeah, true.
Depends. Simplified access controls are going to be coming to Google Meet beginning July 17th. You can now use polls or Q&A during Google Meet live streams. Next, kind of related to Meet, but calendar features here. You can make focus time more productive with Google Calendar settings with those. Next, you can see your read receipts for messages in Google Chat. Group direct messages. And then finally, there's some improvements here to the client-side encryption for Gmail. And then in the news, we've got about seven topics here. We've got an article here. Yeah, this is the big one. This was a very interesting, kind of surprising in some way, integration with Google Calendar and Stripe. So Google Workspace now is going to integrate with Stripe to help businesses accept payments in a Google Calendar. So that's a pretty cool one, I must say. A video here on YouTube about talking about, I'm trying to remember her name. It is the book that you have behind you. I'm forgetting her name.
Priyanka,
yeah, because it wasn't in the title here. Sorry. The title is From India to California, How My Tech Dreams Came True. So that is talking, that is Priyanka doing a video there. 9to5 article here talking about Google killed Iris smart glasses and it's going all in on Android OEM model for XR. Next we have a Stack Overflow blog post about pair programming. We peek under the hood of Duet, Google's coding assistant. So this is episode 580 there, talking about that. And then a Google blog article talking about resource hierarchies, making your IAM management easier with the Google Cloud blog post. Chrome Unboxed has an article here talking about Google Chat is getting some new tools to help you reply to messages faster, better, and express yourself more. And there's an interesting little update in there that we saw that curious to see if it's going to be coming to Workspace within chat. So we'll see. And also, or maybe it's this one, 7 new Google Chat features to easily manage message friends and family. I think it was in that article. It was in that one. That's the one it was.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was number 5, if I recall. We were talking about that yesterday, today, a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, got a lot to talk about. So, revamping the first open experience in Sheets and Slides on Android devices. So, there were some recent announcements here around documents and tablet foldables now being paginated. And if we always get this, I always look this one up.
Paginated
mode upon first open. So there will now be a more creation focused experience when first opening the Sheets and Slides app on Android. And they give you a little example here in the Sheets app. There'll be a larger tap targets, and tapping once exposes the formula bar, tab bar, and contextual formatting toolbar. And then in the Slides app, you will see the film strip on the left-hand side, and selecting on an object exposes the contextual toolbar in an on-screen keyboard. So some nice little enhancements there. Next, the ability to paste HTML into document on Android. Here they're introducing the ability for users to paste copied HTML elements into a document on Android. So you'll be able to copy those to the clipboard and paste the elements into a doc, all while maintaining the formatting elements.
I was realizing I don't have Sheets on my new Android tablet to test this and that I needed to download it. So I was not paying attention. I apologize.
Yeah. So I think we've got that. Pasting the HTML all done there. Last one in the recap post is the ability to easily duplicate groups and objects in Google Sites. So some more enhancements here to the new Google Sites functionality. So site editors can duplicate a section of their site and the duplicated section appears directly below the section it was duplicated from. And says starting here this week, we're extending the duplicate feature by enabling you to easily duplicate those objects and groups when editing a site. And by starting this week, that was the end of last week, the 30th of June. Whether or not that is out just yet, it could be this week as you are listening to this as released. So that's all of those silent releases. And then in terms of our main releases that we have for the week, first one of many regarding Google Meet is you can now quickly access more features during meetings now available in Google Meet on the web. So this is a quick action to access those popular features in Google Meet. By hovering over the mouse on the top of the video feed, you'll be able to access video effects such as the immersive backgrounds or some of those fun, interesting filters to bring more kind of interest to those meetings if you can do that. And then also a reframing option to improve some visibility there. So you can also turn off the video feed from other participants using that quick action on their video. And that, of course, can be helpful in situations where you want to focus your attention on different participants. In terms of rollout for this one will be rolling out to rep release domains on a full rollout schedule, 1 to 3 days for visibility, starting on the 26th of June. And then for scheduled release domains, this will be on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there, starting on the 5th of July. There's a little note here. The quick action menu is available for all Workspace customers. And then the reframing feature is only available to Workspace Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Starter, Enterprise Essentials, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, Teaching and Learning Upgrade, and Workspace Individual customers.
And one more.
Also be available to, yes, Google One subscribers with 2 terabytes or more of storage space.
First of all, I've already seen this and been using it and appreciated its new easy access location.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the screenshot here, and it's an animation of a woman sitting in her room, and it reframes to center her, and then she puts on a virtual background. But if you look out the window behind her, I don't know where she lives, but that looks animated to me. It looks a little too fake, you know.
What, the
it looks
original
almost
one?
Like a Yeah, before she puts on the virtual background over her shoulder out the window, it looks almost Studio Ghibli style.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about?
I mean,
no, you
maybe,
don't see it.
But I mean, she might just live on a farm.
She might just live on a farm, but it looks almost like it's comic, like it's drawn.
Maybe.
I don't know. Could be the
way the interior looks real.
Oh, the interior looks very, very real. It just looks like there was something behind her in the background that they didn't realize until after they filmed it, and so they replaced it in post or something. I don't know. It looks almost. It could just be washed out, and you know, just the camera she was using. But still, it almost looks.
Well, I mean, the next update is perfect if you want to apply some background blur, because you can now apply background blur when joining a call using a virtual desktop.
Yes, so, if you're using a virtual desktop.
Yeah.
VDI.
VDI functionality is not going to be available if you're on those kind of machines. So this is available to, I'm trying to look here for like admin details here on optimization with CPUs, things like that. So it looks like, it will help cut down some demand here on VDIs, CPU, GPU when this is enabled. And in terms of rollout for this one will be rolling out to rep release and scheduled release domains on a full rollout, 1 to 3 days for visibility, starting on the 26th of June. So should be out already to everyone.
Essentially, it uses local graphics processing to do this.
Does that make sense?
Well, it's saying that, you know, for admins, this optimization will help cut down on the demand put on your VDIs, such as CPU, GPU, and memory usage, while helping to improve the meeting quality and performance. For this reason, you may consider removing GPU resources from your VDIs for cost savings.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess there's an interesting balance there in terms of VDIs and the devices that connect into them of, you know, how much power is needed locally versus in the cloud.
Yeah, it could be a good case for using Meet on VDIs versus other kind of video conferencing platforms.
Right. I don't know what the other conferencing platforms can do in that regard, but I mean, I don't have too much experience in this area, admittedly.
No.
However, I was under the impression that, you know, kind of the idea was that the machine that you use to connect it can be, well, garbage, because most of the work is done, you know, out there in the cloud.
Yeah.
So if this is handing a little bit of that workload back, then you need more than, you know, a teeny little nothing computer to be able to accomplish this, I would imagine.
I think we've got through the rollout pace, availability just to Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, and some individual customers on that one. All right, next, Google Sheets. Now some integrated, and it's now integrated with Mail Merge in Gmail. Now there is that ability to use Mail Merge with the support of Google Sheets in the web version of Gmail. So this will allow you to link a sheet with up to 1,500 recipients and use any data column for your from your sheet as a mail merge tag. So great to finally see this. I've actually not even used the multi-send or the personalized multi-send functionality yet in Gmail that's available. I didn't even noticed it, honestly, but
I tested this, it. That was it.
Yeah.
Just for testing purposes.
Yeah.
I haven't actually had a reason to use it personally.
Right. Yeah. With this, though, there will be, so mail merge will fully replace multi-send. So also moving that icon for mail merge from the main compose toolbar at the bottom of the email. That's probably why I missed it. I don't really know if you saw it down there. I think this spot here is a lot better in the kind of the to field there. I kind of noticed that a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's lost in that bottom navigation. Like, I don't know. I'd never.
A lot of stuff down there.
Yeah, there's a lot. I really, the only thing I'd use is the drive, insert from drive kind of functionality. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, no, I don't really use attach. I try to never use attach. Nope. Try never to use
smart.
It.
Smart.
But with this, so that icon's moving, and you can still use mail merge without linking a sheet using the built-in merge tags. And like multi-send here, mail merge emails contain a unique unsubscribe link for each recipient by default. As you know, Google likes to make sure that you're not using Gmail and the Google Workspace platform for, you know, mass mailing purposes. I always get that kind of complaint from companies that are trying to use Gmail to send out, you know, 5,000 emails from one user in one day. It's just like, that's not what this is for. It's not what you're...
Seriously. Please don't. Yeah. Please don't do that.
Yeah. So a few notes here around, here we're getting started with admins. So there's mail merge is restricted to internal recipients by default for certain tiers. For business standard, business plus customers, mail merge is available for external recipients by default. And then for all Workspace editions, you can turn mail merge on for external recipients at the OU or group level. So some things to kind of keep an eye out there for. As an admin, so this is available, of course, to certain types of customers. Rollout pace for the rep release is on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility, starting the 27th of June, and then for scheduled release domains, it's on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days, starting on the 19th of July. This is available to Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Standard, and Education Plus customers, as well as nonprofits. Whew, all right. Got a few more to go here. Next one. Some simplified access controls are going to be coming to Google Meet beginning the 17th of July. What we'll see here is those kind of the quick access meeting settings and admin settings to turn quick access on or off by default will be removed. This update will begin rolling out on the 17th of July, of course, as I said. And then be able to pick from the following three levels of access, which is open, trusted, and restricted. So open is going to be anyone with the meeting link will be able to join your meetings. No one will have to ask to join, and anyone can dial in. So that's the kind of what has been, I think, the standard from the very beginning. That's kind of how Meet was designed initially. Trusted. So this will allow anyone within the meeting host organization will be able to join without having to ask to join. So AKA knocking, as it says here. Anyone outside the organization but invited via a Google Calendar event, or anyone invited from within the meeting will also be able to join without having to ask to join. Anyone can dial in. And then everybody else will have to ask to join. So a bit of control there with trusted. And then restricted. So this is kind of the most controlled. Only someone who is invited by a Google Calendar event or someone invited from within the meeting by a host will be able to join. And everyone else will have to ask to join, including participants inside the host organizations who aren't included on the invite and those dialing in. So also, meeting hosts can configure whether guests can join the meeting before hosts. just, I don't know, that was, this is one of the things that I just like hate about Zoom, right? This is some of the stuff that I just, I don't know, it's such a waste of time. Like, I wasted so much time on Zoom calls, and now they're just like bringing all this functionality into Meet in some way. Well, not all of it, but some of it. And I'm glad that it's kind of like buried in the settings, and it's kind of hard to configure because I don't like it by default. I don't know. It's good. I guess it's good that it's there. I'm glad that it's not the default settings. So
I mostly just set it and forget it in both platforms.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I think it's just the way, because like Zoom is defaulting to all this behavior. It's just really annoying. I've just wasted so much time trying to join Zoom meetings.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'll try to join, you know, on time or a minute early, and I'm walking or doing something, and you know, I have to be let in, and then if I'm let in, I have to then join the audio, and I have to know, it doesn't like tell me when they've accepted me. So I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes when, you know, I could have been listening to something, and I just have to click some buttons, and just, I don't know, I hate Zoom for that. Anyways, just kind of scrolling through. So rollout pace on this one. This one is going to be on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility, starting on the 17th of July for both rep release and schedule release domains. And this is going to be available to all Workspace customers, as well as those with personal Google accounts. All right, more Meet features coming out here. You can now use polls or Q&As during Google Meet live streams. So pretty, I think, self-explanatory there. Being able to leverage this during the live streams just kind of allows you to interact with that larger audience and interact with them there. I think if you know about the polls and Q&A features, this is just really bringing that into the Meet live streams. And rollout for this one starts the 20th of June on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days for both rapid release and schedule release domains. This will be available to kind of a limited set of customers, those on Enterprise Essentials Plus, Enterprise Starter, Enterprise Plus, Enterprise Standard, Education Plus, and the Teaching and Learning Upgrade customers there only. All right, next, a little calendar update here. I'm making focus time more productive with some new Google Calendar settings. So to increase concentration here and bridge the gap between do not disturb and focus time, you can now mute notifications for the duration of your focus time directly in Calendar. This is going to roll out separately to rapid release and schedule release domains. It will be rolling out to rapid release domains starting the 28th of June on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. And then schedule release domains will see this starting the 12th of July, also on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility, and available to just those on Enterprise Standard Plus, Business Standard, Business Plus, Education Standard, Education Plus, and nonprofits. Interesting how they went backwards there in a way. They usually go business and then enterprise, but reverse that a little bit on that one.
So this feature, they basically, it was already doing this for focus time already, right? This is just a, now you have the choice of whether or not it mutes chat notifications during your focus time, because it does it automatically for all meeting types. So here they're just adding the ability to say, yes, mute chat or don't mute chat. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's like some setting I have on like Google Voice also where I don't get calls sometimes when I'm in a meeting. I think there's a setting for that too.
I think voice obeys your calendar.
Yeah.
Or it can obey your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the problem though where my voice is on the personal side, and then if I only, unless I like copy it over to the personal side, will it do that? Because, you know, if you're at work and someone's calling you a Google Voice personal, it doesn't understand that. Again, you know, linking those accounts and like merging them somehow, or like understanding that logic between them without having to, you know, invite yourself, for example, would be great.
That would be nice.
Yep. All right. 2-6-6 down, 2 to go. Next, we have the ability to see to read receipts for messages in Google Chat, and Google Chat groups with direct messages. So with the feature here now, you'll be able to quickly identify in if other members of the group have read your latest message within the chat stream. So just kind of like a grouping of, you know, who's seen the message here, which I don't... Is this... It's available in Slack? There's not a way to see this in Slack, is there?
I don't know.
I don't actually. I've never noticed this in Slack.
I don't recall seeing. No.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's not really a by default where you do DMs if you know when someone's seen it, right?
In Slack, I think that you can. I don't
think so.
It might be a setting. It does show when someone sees it.
Yeah.
But not just in a group chat.
Yeah, or a channel or whatever. Yeah, a group.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I've always had a love hate relationship with.
I know.
Read receipts. Certainly, for emails, I hate them. But
I always get around this by just using the notification bar to read it, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't trigger the app visibility right. that someone's seen it. And I'm like, right. Oh yeah, I read it, but I didn't really look at it. It shows I didn't look at it.
Yeah.
That's what I usually do. A lot of WhatsApp. I usually, especially with WhatsApp, do that.
That I don't mind as much. I mind the terrible interrupt between, and maybe this is better now, but Outlook and Gmail, and somebody tries to send a read receipt and it just shows up as an extra email, or it's a lot of extra chatter that doesn't need to take place. Right. And quite frankly, I don't necessarily need people knowing when I do or don't look at their messages, because. Right. They may think that, oh, now's a good time. It's like, no, I'm sitting on the toilet. Thank you very much. Now is not a good time. And then they call you and you're like, oh.
Right.
I'm just reviewing my chats. Go away.
So, you can definitely, from that explanation there, there's sometimes some importance as to when someone's maybe seen it or when you might expect a response from someone. But a lot of times, I think it's just false information. It's not... Should be used with a grain of salt, really. Some details here. Read receipts will only be shown in chats of 20 people or less. Will not be shown in spaces. So keep that in mind. So this is for group only, not spaces. And no admin controls for this one. No end user settings. So it's there. Cannot be toggled on or off. So keep that in mind. Rollout for this one will be starting the 29th of June for both wrapped release and scheduled release domains on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility and available to all Workspace customers as well as users with personal Google accounts. Last but not least, improvements are coming for client-side encryption in Gmail. So two new features here coming to client-side encryption, which will help you quickly identify ineligible recipients and any attachments that may be blocked. So when you're composing that message using client-side encryption, any recipient who is not able to receive encrypted messages will be denoted with a red chip, and that email will not be able to be sent until those recipients are removed. So Gmail will block attachments that may spread viruses, messages that may include executable files or scripts. And also, if you receive a client-side encryption message in Gmail, it will automatically check if any attachments are blocked file types. And if those are blocked file types, you will see a warning banner and you won't be able to download the file. So, yeah, pretty...
As usual.
Yeah. I have a kind of a screenshot of, looking at an email that came in with... it came into the Workspace platform, right? You had one user looking at the Gmail message in the Gmail app on their desktop and, say, mobile device. And then someone else, same user, able to, download and view that attachment in Mac Mail and Outlook. And it would allow that, attachment to be downloaded when it was coming through IMAP or that kind of Outlook Sync feature. That is a big reason why, if you are using Gmail, Google Workspace, use the client that came with it for the, the most security. That's what it's there for. Rollout pace for this one. This is starting the 30th of June. on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there on both those rapid release and scheduled release domains. It's coming only to, of course, Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, and Education Standard customers, those with the client-side encryption functionality. Whew. All right. That was a long one. Over to you, Jesse, for an almost equally long amount of news articles.
Indeed. All right. So this is one I didn't even see coming. Kind of came out of left field here. Google Workspace now integrates Stripe to help businesses accept payments in Google Calendar. And essentially, it's just that. Stripe, if you don't know who they are powering like an enormous amount of small to mid-sized business transactions on the internet, and even sometimes bigger businesses transactions, and they make it really easy for stores to check out. They've got great APIs, tap into the information and you know, access your data with them as a business. So a lot of people, it is their favorite. And so essentially what Google is saying, what you can do here is you can allow your customers to book appointments directly through Google Calendar, and once you've set this up, you set a price, and you connect it with your, well, you connect your Stripe account, and then you set a price, and then essentially you just offer your clients the ability to book and pay for your services in Google Calendar. So if you're doing consulting or, I don't know, cooking classes or massages, you can have your customers go in and pay directly through Google Calendar. So breaking down the barriers to people getting paid. I like it. Good stuff. Interesting that they didn't use Google Wallet for this, though, honestly. And also kind of a shot against the bow of their new friend or old friend, Squarespace, who's taking over the Google domains and also has their own competing calendar booking platform.
I think it was the right move, though. This was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
have,
it's, you know,
have
it's
more integrations and partnerships like this.
Exactly.
Have more things like
yes.
this.
That's what I was getting to as well.
Doing this.
Yeah, is that, you know, there are so many businesses that are already using this, and this is just an added easy connect to your using workspace, connected to your systems, and everything just works. So good on them for doing that. And that'll be rolling out. What was the rollout pace on that? This is on Stripe's newsroom website. We'll link in the description, of course. Paid appointment bookings will roll out globally to select workspace customers in the coming weeks. So stay tuned. I imagine we'll see an announcement from Google on that as well. The next one that we have here is a video about Priyanka, and this is from Google Cloud Tech YouTube channel, hashtag 1 million subs, because they just passed 1 million subscribers, so congrats to them on that. That is not easy. And they are doing a series on you know, the journey to 1 million subscribers, and they talk about Priyanka going from India to California and how her tech dreams came true. So some, you know, not necessarily highly technical content. Usually Priyanka is known as, I believe it was the Cloud Girl, or of course, you may recognize her. Almost just dropped my seltzer everywhere. Apologies for that. You may recognize her from the book that we've showed off here a bunch of times before, Visualizing Google Cloud, a great resource. If you don't use cloud on the regular and you're looking to learn more, definitely go and check that out. Yes, Steve?
No, I was just going to say, I should probably grab that book. I've been thinking about grabbing that at some
point. You should? You should?
Yeah.
It's great just to, you know, as a refresher as well, even if you are familiar. So, all right, next up is a report that's from 9to5 Google that says Google has killed its Iris smart glasses and is going all in on Android OEM model for XR. I read this headline and I was like, so Google saw what Apple put out for the Vision Pro and went, oh crap. better. We're nowhere near that. Let's shelf that for now. And I don't know if that's actually what happened, but you know, Google is always constantly changing and restructuring their plans when it comes to new products, especially in prototype phase such as this. According to Business Insider, though, Google is not currently working on its own pair of smart glasses after canceling what was codenamed Iris earlier this year. The plan was to, quote, build and launch Iris as its own product. So similar to the Pixel line. Don't, you know, take this at its word, though. Google recently, or not so recently, several years ago, said that they had given up on tablets and that they were never going to make tablets again, and I'm holding in my hand a brand new tablet that was made by Google. So, you know, this could always change at any given moment, especially when they realize and decide that they have enough of a bench to be able to go and build their own. The article goes on to say here that that decision was the result of, quote, layoffs, reshuffles, and the departure of Clay Bavor, who led the AR/VR efforts and was at the company for 18 years. Ouch. That is a long time, and yeah, definitely could shake things up. The 9to5 Google had reported in February that AR efforts previously under Bavor were moved into Hiroshi Lockheimer's platforms and ecosystems, which consists of Android, Chrome OS, etc., and Rick Osterloh's devices and services, which is Pixel, Nest, and Chromecast. So a lot of shuffling going on over there, and hopefully we'll see some really solid offerings coming from Google when it comes to this. Google obviously knows a thing or two about being the OEM OS. OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer, by the way, and that's essentially all of the companies that make hardware, phones, tablets, whatever, using Google's software, in this case, generally Android. And that's an industry standard term. There's lots of OEMs out there. And Google basically enabled the entire world to have access to incredible OEM capabilities because of their software. So hopefully we'll see that again with XR and their augmented/virtual reality glasses. Okay, next up, this is the first time I think I've ever quoted a Stack Overflow article on this show. It's from their podcast and talks about pair programming and how you can use Google Duet to help you with that. Yes, Steve.
No, I just remember thinking back on a job interview I did in London where pair programming was like made up a big part of kind of the role and how they were kind of working with coding. And it was kind of the first time I had seen it kind of in action and heard about it. So it's kind of an interesting approach to the way that you code and work with people on that. So did you have a chance to listen to the episode, or just you just kind of read it?
I didn't. I thought it was. I saw some people recommending it, and I thought it was a good a good topic here. So the topic is essentially they chat with Marcos, and I'm going to butcher the last name here. I apologize. Grapegia, two G's in there, two P's, two G's. The product manager for Duet, Marcos, please come on the show and tell us how to say your name correctly, and we'd love to talk to you. Of course, Duet obviously being an AI-powered assistant that can help you craft code by suggesting snippets or even full functions as you write. He goes on to explain why, in the show, he explains why he thinks tools like this will augment but not replace the human developers at work today. And I thought of this again when I saw a meme earlier today, which was essentially people in the office talking, saying that AI would be able to replace programmers, and referenced back to when we invented calculators and that we would need less accountants, and that is obviously not the case. Accountants are just doing much, much more with spreadsheets and calculators, and the same, I believe, is going to be true here as well. So if you're interested in that side of Google Duet, definitely go and check that out. And this one is IAM, there and back again using resource hierarchies. This was this is our buddy Max Saltenstall, sorry, and also Michelle Chubirka. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too terribly. But if I remember correctly, I believe this was using, Lord of the Rings to explain resource hierarchies and creating trust boundaries and hierarchies to create trust boundaries and so on. And goes on to describe organizations as Land of the Sun, Aman, Middle Earth, Land of the Dark, and then folders are Gondor, Mordor, Rohan, etc., the Shire. So if you are a fan of that, definitely go and check this out. It's a great explainator. Wow, good job. Explainer of how to do this and the benefits of using folders and landing zones and so on. So if you're involved in IAM, identity management, definitely go and check this out. This is on the Google Cloud blog, but links will be in the description. Next up is from our friends over at Chrome Unboxed. Google Chat is getting new tools to help you reply to messages faster and better express yourself. We have talked about a number of these here, but this is highlighting some of the newer ones that are coming out. This is what we were just talking about today, is read receipts, I believe. Yep, chat will now show profile pictures of anyone who has seen your messages just below it. This can really help to make sure your employees or students are engaging with your messages and are attentive to what you're saying. But one thing that I really wanted to highlight in here, which has been long requested. Oh, first off, with Smart Compose, you all know what that is. That's coming soon. But the feature that has been long requested and is finally arriving that I hadn't really seen written anywhere else, so I wanted to highlight it here, was directly linking to a Google chat message. Yes, you can do it now.
Oh, yeah.
All of our friends in the various chat groups that I'm in that are talking with the Google team that have been begging for this to become a thing, it is now going to be a thing. Yes, Steve.
No, I you know, there was always some level of linking functionality into, yeah, there was something that I was like able to do. Well, I think the Spaces had links, right?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, you could email yourself, you could forward yourself that one and then sort of link to that.
Yeah,
sort of.
It's a lot better. Yeah, so I was.
Of course, you still, you know, the permissions are in place here. You need to. You can't just send it to anyone to view. They'll have to be able to view the space and so on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, rich text formatting, which we talked about previously, is on its way. Quick reply emoji, which I believe are already rolling out. I have them on all of my accounts. More GIFs are becoming available, whether you like it or not. I love GIFs. I love the GIFs, so I'm a big GIF user. But one, and I think that this article actually overlaps with the final article that I have here, which is on Google's blog, which the title for this is 7 New Chat Features to Easily Message Friends and Family. And so that's where that article was written based off of on Chrome Unbox. And the one thing that they did not mention, was it? Oh, no, it was linking directly to... Ah, no, sorry. I confused myself on this. The one that they did not talk about that I wanted to talk about is also linking, but now you can link text that you are typing to. You can highlight text and create a link as you would in an email or a doc and so on.
Or
so instead
like
of linking directly
kind of
to the chat, you are typing in and you highlight it and you can make that clickable as a link, specifically that text
hyperlinks.
Instead of hyperlink. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's the word. Hyperlink. Instead...
Something that's been around since the beginning of the internet.
Yes, we have terminology for this, folks. I just can't seem to keep track of it all and remember it. Apologies. Like, yes, you can now hyperlink in Google Chat, or not now, but coming soon as rolls out, the advanced formatting.
Yeah.
So that was something that I, as soon as I saw it in here, I was like, oh, finally. Something that I have wanted to do many a time, especially as I was putting in multiple links. It just makes chat messages that have multiple links in them, especially if they're long links, get super long and annoying. Yeah. So this will be definitely a welcome addition on my part. And then, you know, some of the other ones that we've already announced in here are hiding inactive conversations, adding apps for more features, Asana's back in there. Talking last week or the week before about how Asana wasn't included in the launch list for one of those. So, read receipts are in there, quoting a message in a group chat, edit and deleting your messages are also in here, and Smart Compose. So,
you know what? I didn't notice. So, in the link directly to text section there, when you do the hyperlink, it didn't seem to show, you know, the preview of the page necessarily, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But,
I don't know.
Yeah, because it only does one message, right? It'll only do one preview. So if you have like multiple links, like long URLs in a single chat, you can only, you know, use a preview of one of them, right? You kind of like say yes or no, like add it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I should see how this behaves if it shows the previews at all, you know, moving forward. Or if you can use the long links to show the previews if you want the previews.
Maybe that's the distinguisher there between the two. It's the only one or one of the only ones that's on here that's not a GIF, so I couldn't tell you what that's actually going to manifest like. But I guess we'll have to try it out on the rich text formatting toolbar as soon as we see it here. I think that you're right in that though, that it is going to not expand preview. The link, preview the link on there.
Yep.
But I guess we will have to circle back and play around with it. All right, that's all for this week. Super long episode. It's going to be almost another nearly an hour show here. So hope you like the long ones, because Google's apparently got it in high gear as we head through the summer months here. And you know, I'm sure it's going to continue rolling on through. So hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening so you'll continue to get updates about Google Workspace, and leave us a review if you would. Thumbs up over on YouTube. Leave us a comment. Hit us up on Twitter. Email us. Whatever you like to do, any platform, we're basically there. Have a great week. Happy independence, everything. And we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.